తాయ్ జయ గౌరనితాయ్ గౌరనితాయ్ జయ 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 గౌరనితాయ్ గౌరనితాయ్ జయ గౌరనితాయ్ జయ గౌరనితాయ్ జల గౌరనితాయ్ జయ ప్రభు పదా జయ ప్రభు పదా జయ ప్రభు పదా శిల ప్రభు పదా జయ ప్రభు పదా జయ ప్రభు పదా జయ ప్రభు పదా శిల ప్రభు పదా జయ గురుదేవా జయ గురుదేవా జయ గురుదేవా శిల గురుదేవా జయ గురుదేవా జయ గురుదేవా జయ గురుదేవా శిల గురుదేవా గ్రంథరాశ్రీమద్భాగవత శ్రీ జై శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద కీ జై. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ హరే కృష్ణ. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ హరే కృష్ణ. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ హరే కృష్ణ. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ గురు అండ్ గౌరంగ. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. దే వాసుదేవా నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయం ఉధీరయేత్ తతో జయం ఉధీరయేత్ శ్రీన్వతం స్వాగత కృష్ణ శ్రీన్వతం స్వాగత కృష్ణ పుణ్యశ్రవణ కీర్తన పుణ్యశ్రవణ కీర్తన హృదంతస్థో హి అభద్రాణి హృదంతస్థో హి అభద్రాణి విదూనోతి సుహృసతాం విదూనోతి సుహృసతాం నష్టప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నత్సప్రాయేషు అభద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భగవతి ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service on the personality of Godhead, whose praise with transcendental song is established as an irrevocable fact. So we are discussing Canto 6, Prescribed Duties for Mankind, and Chapter 17, Mother Parvati Curses Chitraketu. Text number 9. Sri Sukha Uvacha Bhagavan Apitak Sutva Anapitak Sutva Bhagavan Apitak Sutva సుత్వా ప్రహస్యాగాదధి అధీనృప ప్రహస్యగాద అధీనృప ప్రహస్యాగాదీర్ఉప అధీనృప తూషిణీం బాభూవాసదసి తూషిణీం బభూవాసదసి తూషిణీం బభూవాత్మస సదసి బభూవా సదసి సభ్యాశ్చ తద్ అనువ్రతాః తద్ అనువ్రతాః సభ్యాశ్చ తద్ అనువ్రతాః శ్రీ సుకవాచ భగవాన్ అపి దక్షుత్వా ప్రహస్యాగాద దీర్నృపా తుష్ణీం బభూవా సదసీ సభ్యాశ్చ తద్ అనువృతా. శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ భగవాన్ అపి తక్షుత్వా సుషీనీ బభువా సదసీ సభ్యాశ్చ తద్ అనువృతా. వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ మీనింగ్, శ్రీ సుఖ ఉవాచ. శ్రీ సుఖదేవ గోస్వామి సెడ్, భగవాన్ లార్డ్ శివ అపి ఆల్సో తత్ దట్ శ్రుత్వా హియరింగ్ ప్రహస్య స్మైలింగ్ అఘాదిహి హూస్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఇస్ అన్ఫాథమ్ నృపా ఓ కింగ్ తుష్ణిం సైలెంట్ బభువా రిమైన్ సదసి ఇన్ ది అసెంబ్లీ సభ్యాః ఎవ్రీవన్ అసెంబుల్ దేర్ చ అండ్ తత్ అనువ్రతాః ఫాలోడ్ లార్డ్ శివ దే రిమైన్ సైలెంట్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ బై డివైన్ గ్రేస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కీ జై. శ్రీల సుఖదేవ గోస్వామి కంటిన్యూడ్, మై డియర్ కింగ్, ఆఫ్టర్ హియరింగ్ చిత్రకేతు స్టేట్మెంట్, లార్డ్ శివ ది మోస్ట్ పవర్ఫుల్ పర్సనాలిటీ హూస్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఈజ్ ఫ్యాథమ్లెస్ సింప్లీ స్మైల్డ్ అండ్ రిమైన్డ్ సైలెంట్ అండ్ ఆల్ ది మెంబర్స్ ఆఫ్ ది అసెంబ్లీ ఫాలోడ్ ది లార్డ్ బై నాట్ సేయింగ్ ఎనీథింగ్. పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ శిలా ప్రభుపాద్ కీ జై. Chitraketu's purpose in criticizing Lord Shiva is somewhat mysterious and cannot be understood by a common man. Srila Vishna Chakravarti Thakura, however, has made the following observations. Lord Shiva, being the most exalted Vaishnava and one of the most powerful demigods, is able to do anything he desires. Although he was externally exhibiting the behavior of a common man and not following etiquette, such actions cannot diminish his exalted position. The difficulty is that a common man, seeing Lord Shiva's behavior, might follow his example. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3.21, యద్యద్ ఆచరతి శ్రేష్ఠ తద్దద్ ఏవతరో జనః సయద్ ప్రమాణం కురుతే లోకస్తద్ అనువర్తతే. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. A common man might also criticize Lord Shiva like Daksha, who suffered the consequences for his criticism. King Chitraketu desired that Lord Shiva cease this external behavior so that others might be saved from criticizing him and this becoming offenders. If one thinks that Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the only perfect personality where the demigods, even such demigod Lord Shiva, are inclined to improper social affairs, he is an offender. Considering all this, King Chitraketu was somewhat harsh in his behavior with Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, who is always deep in knowledge, could understand Chitraketu's purpose, and therefore he was not at all angry. Rather, he simply smiled and remained silent. The members of the assembly surrounding Lord Shiva could also understand Chitraketu's purpose. Consequently, following the behavior of Lord Shiva, they did not protest. Instead,
Following their master, they remained silent. If the members of the assembly thought that Chitraketu had blasphemed Lord Shiva, they would have certainly have left at once, blocking their ears with their hands. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitamscha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Giram Yat Kripatamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has the form of Satchitananda Vigraha, transcendental bliss, knowledge and eternity. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Him who turns the dumb into eloquent speakers and enables the lame to cross mountains. Such is the mercy of the Lord. He Krishna Karna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Krupa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebho Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, My dear King, after hearing Chitraketu's statement, Lord Shiva, the most powerful personality whose knowledge is fathomless, simply smiled and remained silent. And all the members of the assembly followed the Lord by not saying anything. Commenting on this verse by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, I'll just read the, because it's an interactive dialogue given there. Why did Shiva smile? Chitraketu wants to establish the truth about my conduct in this world. So Chitraketu wants to establish the truth about my conduct in this world because he had fathomless knowledge. What is fathomless? Unending truth. Thank you, Prabhu. Not fully explored, or dictionary says not totally understood. So the depth is so much that is beyond the understanding of an ordinary person. So because he had fathomless knowledge, not understood by anyone, he understood Chitraketu's intention. Chitraketu's intention was as follows. Shiva is the Lord. There is no harm if he performs acts which appear wrong. Those who are ignorant will criticize him, and for their offense will be destroyed like Daksha. So because people do not understand the depth of such an exalted devotee, or Lord Shiva, so then they tend to criticize the external behavior of the Lord. And by criticizing, what happens? The person who's criticizing will fall down. If today I can establish that he has proper conduct, it will be beneficial for the world. So Chitraketu is trying to benefit the world. For the sake of the world, he is trying to say what he has said. If today I can establish that he has proper conduct, it will be beneficial for the world. Vishnu benefits the world because he follows proper conduct. But Shiva is inauspicious because of his apparent misconduct. So Lord Vishnu conducts his behavior in such a way that no one can pinpoint a finger. But in the case of Lord Shiva, people can say that, look at him. He talks about austerity. He's talking about philosophy. And then his wife is sitting on his lap and then showing the external behavior, which is totally contradictory to the internal mood of the person who is supposed to sit on a Vyasasana. So Shiva thought, and he should not have infamy. So Chitraketu's intention was that he should not have infamy. And even the modern world, it's more than the external action, the intention behind the action counts. Especially if you see the judgments coming from United States, most of the courts, they find that the person, if he does an act out of spurt of the moment, then the punishment given for such an act is much less than a premeditated action. Because premeditated action is that the person has well thought about it and therefore he has acted on that. Whereas person in a mode of passion, he is reacting in a given situation and therefore that is instantaneous. It's not that the person thought about it and then therefore he has performed that activity. Normally, so therefore, we should cultivate our action or the, I would say, response to any activity in a way in which it benefits the other person. So therefore, one can react to the person. When somebody says something, I can react to that person. And by reacting to that person, normally in the material world, what happens? That person says one word, you say 5 words. And the other person says 10 words, then you say 20 words. And therefore it enters into an endless argument or it goes to a big fight. And if you are in a country like USA, both of them can pull their triggers. So that's one way of responding to a given situation. The other response is that the person says something, you keep quiet, you don't say anything, you remain passive. But then, you may remain passive externally, but internally, you are not happy. And the result is, the person can continue to criticize you, and internally, you continue to feel ill about the person, and in the consequence, neither of them gets benefited. So the better approach or the best approach would be, if the person is criticizing, you pray for him. The person may transmit material ill effects towards you or abuses you, but you should be able to transmit transcendental vibration. By transmitting transcendental vibration, there's a possibility or a period of time that person gets corrected. Because you are not maintaining any reactive mode, rather you are showing compassion, you are showing the responsive mode, and in that mode you are trying to lift him from his existing material consciousness. And that way it benefits that person and it also benefits us, because we'll not be placed in a similar situation again with that person in future. Because any event taking place in the material world has a cause, is a cause and effect reaction situation. So it's not that just like that for no reason somebody is abusing. I must have done something in the past to that person, and therefore today the person is reacting to me, and therefore if I have to square up the equation, better I transmit transcendental vibration, thus square up the equation, and in future we'll not have similar situations. It is said that psychologists say that when you are transmitting the vibration, the other person sometimes is receptive, although he may be anywhere. It's not that physically the person needs to be present. The person could be anywhere on the planet, and when you're sending, at that moment, if for any reason his receiver is tuned with you, he immediately catches that vibration. It's an interesting concept, but they say that it is possible. And that's the reason why you find that sometimes if your relative or your parent, they say that I'm expecting your call and I've received your call. And they say that Jio for 100 years. It's the blessings they give. Does that happen to anyone? You parents or somebody, you say that, okay, I'm going to give a call. And when you give a call, suddenly the parent says that, well, I was expecting your call and there I've received it. So therefore that means that you're transmitting, or your transmitter and the receiver are synchronized, and at that time they picked up the signal. Now when they are not synchronized, it's still you're transmitting, the receiver will receive, maybe not online but offline. The signal will be received by the receiver, may not be online but offline. Sometime later on, the person will receive the signal depending on his purity or otherwise. But what happens is that next time when you meet, you will not have the pleasant exchange with the person because of the negative vibrations you have been transmitting towards that person, and somehow that behavior is picked up by the other person. This is the interesting psychology. We find modern science accepts it. So therefore, whether the person is receiving your signal or not, make it a point not to transmit negative emotions towards anyone. And therefore, the foundational principle for spiritual progress is gratitude and humility. These are the two pillars on which we can progress in our spiritual journey. Whatever we have in our life, be grateful. Be grateful to the Lord. Be grateful to the devotees. Be grateful to every living entity that has facilitated your current existence. And with that gratitude, you try naturally cultivate the sense of humility. And in that, or on that platform, you will never transmit negative emotions to anyone. So, but Shiva is inauspicious because of his apparent misconduct, he should not have infamy. So this was the intention of Chitraketu, and therefore that's how he tried to say to Lord Shiva. Then Shiva thought, I'll not become angry at his harsh words, which are beneficial for the world. The assembly, understanding Shiva's intention, also remained silent and did not become angry. If his intention had been to criticize Shiva, the assembly would have blocked their ears and left. Normally we say, Shiva, Shiva, whenever somebody is talking harshly, at least coming from traditional South Indian culture, we used to say, if somebody is scolding you or somebody is abusing you, immediately you close your ears and say Shiva, Shiva. Or you say Vishnu, Vishnu. Normally we don't, at least I have not said Vishnu, Vishnu, but we always used to say Lord Shiva, Shiva. Anyone remember saying that? Because now we say Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But in those days that was the culture in which I was brought up. And it is said, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur continues with the verse 10.74.39, Bhagavan Nindanam Srutva Dushaham Tat Sabhasadaha Karnau Pidhaya Nirjagmuhu Saptas Chedipam Rusa. Upon hearing such intolerable blasphemy of the Lord, several members of the assembly covered their ears and walked out, angrily cursing the king of Chedi. So if our comments are really with envy in our heart, then obviously the other person's reaction would be different, and equally the audience would have angrily responded. But here we find Lord Shiva was not angry. And seeing their master's mood, the devotees, they knew that it was not with an intention of envy or with the envy in the heart that Chitraketu was trying to criticize Lord Shiva. And Prabhupada in his opening statement said, purport, Chitraketu's purpose in criticizing Lord Shiva is somewhat mysterious. What does the word mysterious mean? Prabhupada says that Chitraketu's purpose in criticizing Lord Shiva is somewhat mysterious and cannot be understood by a common man. So what does the word mysterious mean? Sorry? Unknown. Yeah, you can say. It says, dictionary at least when I checked, it says difficult or impossible to understand. Impossible. So therefore, Prabhupada summarized with that, uses the word mysterious. He is saying that what Chitraketu is doing is very difficult for an ordinary person to understand. And Prabhupada brings about the comparison between Chitraketu's behavior and Daksha's behavior. Daksha, with his enviousness in their heart, he is criticized, and therefore we know the pastime of Daksha Yajna, there is a consequence of that. But whereas in this case, when Chitraketu is criticizing, Lord Shiva is not taking with the attitude that this person, who is he, is going to criticize me, because he understood, because of his fathomless depth of knowledge. His depth of knowledge was so high. I remember in a native place, you have to, for taking out water from the well, you drop the bucket at the end of the rope. First time when I went to my native place, because I grew up in Hyderabad, but native place, we frequently go for marriages, functions. And first time when I dropped the bucket, I find that the bucket is going down, down, down. I couldn't see the water. And finally, it hit the water. Then I saw that the entire rope is gone. It's only a small piece, and then I was holding it. So therefore, it means that it's so deep, the well. So similarly, Lord Shiva's understanding is so deep that he could understand the intention of Chitraketu. And in verse 10.33.31-32, instructions Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, and these are the set of verses Gurudev quotes in his book. 10.33.31, the statements of Lord's empowered servants are always true, and the acts they perform are exemplary when consistent with those statements. Therefore, one who is intelligent should carry out their instructions. And in the purport to that, Srila Prabhupada says, but when Lord Krishna himself descends, he also demonstrates the ultimate religious principle, namely that the Lord, Supreme Lord, is beyond all other living beings, and that no one can imitate his supreme position. This foremost of all religious principles, that the Lord is unique without equal or superior, was clearly demonstrated in Lord Krishna's apparently immoral pastimes with the gopis. No one can imitate these activities without incurring dire consequences, as explained here by Sukadeva Goswami. One who thinks that Lord Krishna is an ordinary living being subject to lust, or who accepts his rasa dance as admirable and tries to imitate it, will certainly be vanquished, as described in the text 30, previous one. One who is not a great controller should never imitate the behavior of ruling personalities, even mentally. If out of foolishness an ordinary person does imitate such behavior, he'll simply destroy himself, just as a person who is not Rudra would destroy himself if he tried to drink an ocean of poison. And finally, 32, my dear Prabhu, when these great persons who are free from false ego act piously in this world, they have no selfish motives to fulfill. And even when they act in apparent contradictions to the law of piety, they are not subjected to sinful reactions. So therefore, one should not judge the behavior of especially an exalted devotee. For that matter, one should not judge anyone unless we are authorized. One of the devotees, he was narrating to me that because of him, he committed a mistake in the temple, and because of that, certain facilities which was being provided to the devotees has been withdrawn. And he went and said to his other devotee, to whom he considers as his elder brother. So once he was saying that, Prabhu, I considered that Prabhu as my elder brother, and I told him this is what has happened. And that devotee pulled him left and right. How dare you are so casual in your service in the temple. You can't do that. Every step, every activity you perform in the temple is an activity as a service to the Lord, and therefore you must be very, very careful. And he said, Prabhu, that Prabhu pulled me left and right and center, but I felt it as nectar. Because I have surrendered to him, I have accepted him as my elder brother, and therefore he has a right to pull me up for my own benefit. He does not have any envy in his heart. So similarly, if you have given that authorization to somebody and then the other person pulls you up, you take it, you accept it. But without that, you are trying to pull somebody, then obviously it will be taken, it will be misunderstood, and it can have its consequences. Abhishek was once narrating episode which happened in Pune temple. The devotees were asked to move from old temple to the new temple. It was, I think some 5 years back or 6 years back. And the 2 days before the inauguration of the temple, the brahmacharis, everyone was asked to move the temple to the new temple. And for 48 hours, they did not have any sleep. They moved the entire temple from old temple to the new temple. And just 2 days before, His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj called, I believe, Radhesham Prabhu and said, please move back to the old temple. Because 2 days later, the temple Indian President Abdul Kalam was about to inaugurate the temple, and they have heard that there's a possibility of a terrorist attack. And Radhesham Prabhu said, yes. And the message was transmitted to the devotees, the brahmacharis. And brahmacharis said, no way we can do that. Because we have already spent 48 hours, we don't have any sleep, we are dead, and we can't do anything. And Radhesham Prabhu, he called the leaders. He said, how is it possible that you're not going to move? And he blasted them. He said, you must move, because this is an instruction coming from Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, and have accepted it, and therefore move back the paraphernalia back to the old temple. So the next 2 days, just before the inauguration of the new temple, they moved back the entire paraphernalia to the old temple. So why we take that example is that the brahmacharis are surrendered to the temple authorities. And they have their own, they don't have their own intelligence, in the sense that you are subordinate to the temple authority, and whatever the temple authority says, whether you like it or not, you have to follow the instruction. Am I right in saying that? There are times when we have conflicting thoughts coming, But then ultimately you have to surrender to the temple authority because that's the role you have accepted, and then you do that. And therefore they said that the next 2 days the temple was moved back to the old temple. And so you can imagine, for 4 days no sleep, did so much of work, and they were dead. That's what Abhishek was saying. I'm not sure whether anything such happened in this temple. Any idea? Anything? Oh, okay. Because when we try to criticize an exalted devotee, then Guru Maharaj says in his purport on this verse that two things can happen, or one can commit two mistakes. Either you try to imitate that great person. So somebody can say that, well, Lord Shiva has done it, why not equally I do the I can also do similar activity. Or criticize those actions. So either way, it's a fall down. Criticize, imitating, I think if we use the Hindi word, it gives actually, it touches our heart. Because imitation in Hindi we call as nakli. So it's not asli, it is nakli. So when you say nakli, then it hits you that this is not the truth, or this we can't do it. Like in kitchen, I think Saviour Bhagavan Prabhu says, he understands that we sometimes, instead of saffron, which is the actual coloring agent and the flavoring agent, we use a nakli item or an artificial item, which is not supposed to be used, but we sometimes tend to use it. It's an imitation. And once I was traveling from Flinders Street Station towards Glen Waverley, there was a mother with her son, I think 13, 14 years, and she was trying to control the boy. And what was the boy saying? Krishna can have with, he moves with the girls, and he has so many girlfriends, why not I should have a girlfriend? I too want a girlfriend. And because she looked at my body, my hair, she thought, well, this guy is from India. And she is also from India. She was saying, what can I do? This boy, he harasses me that he wants to behave like Krishna. And he too wants, at the age of 13, 14 years, a girlfriend. And no matter what I tell him, he doesn't understand. So this is what the material world is. So we should be very careful in how we behave. And therefore, as a child, I remember my parents used to say always, I think people coming from Andhra, this is a typical statement, they tend to say that, follow what Rama did, but follow the instruction of Lord Krishna. Don't reverse it. If you do what Krishna has done and follow Rama's instruction, it's not conducive for your spiritual growth. So if you want to grow spiritually, you should do what Rama has done and then follow the instruction of Lord Krishna. Then you are following the proper path or the etiquette, and you'll grow spiritually. And we find that even when you are watering the plants, it's an interesting biological concept. Or a botanist, they say, you must have heard that. You take two plants, for one plant you pour water with love and affection. The plant grows. Whereas the other plant, you pull up, you scold, you abuse, and you pour the plant. After a while, the plant disappears. Has anyone heard this part? This is a... So therefore, why? Because this person is criticizing with the envy in their heart. And Prabhupada always says that we are in the material world because of envy. And what do we mean by envy? What do we mean by envy? Because we should understand what we mean by envy. Otherwise, we'll continue to behave and we don't understand that.
Envy is something that you can't attain. Jealous, it's different to jealousy. If I'm envious of somebody, something, if they can do something which I'll never be able to do, I'm envious. If I'm jealous, I can maybe change that. I can put myself in the same position. But if I envy, it's something I know I can't attain.
Okay. Typically, we find that enviousness comes because of comparison. I compare myself with others. And when I find other person better than me, then I feel the enviousness in my heart. So you can say that jealous is a passive emotion which is there within the heart. You don't express it out. Whereas enviousness is an external activity, you show it. If someone is having maybe a good mobile and I don't have that mobile and I'm jealous or envious of that mobile, when he's not around, I may try to break that mobile. Because I compare my mobile with that mobile and say that my mobile is flimsy, the other person is having maybe iPhone 14 or whatever it is, and therefore you feel, well, why should that person have that feeling? I'll give my own personal example. When we came newly to Melbourne, that was some 20 years back, I purchased a car, second-hand car, for $5,000. In those days, $5,000 was a big money for me, because just then I came and I was required to spend money for purchasing the car. I come from a place in Hyderabad where one block away there's a street shopping complex, other block away was my school. I used to hear the second bell and run to the school. So that was that close to the school. So there was never a need for a car. But here, moment we landed in, so we wanted to purchase, we had to purchase a car. I purchased the car, and my co-tenant, in another flat, was another Indian family. They purchased a car. He said he purchased a car for $3,500. I said, and that car looked to me externally better than my car. So I said, this guy has purchased for $3,500 a car better than mine, and I have spent $5,000 and my car doesn't look so good like his. And believe it or not, because I had that thought, I'm considered to be reasonably a good driver. While reversing the car, I bumped into his car. It was not with any intention, but the thought was there that his car is better than my car. In reverse, you just reverse at 5 kilometers per hour or 10 kilometers per hour, that too within a flat, and then I bumped into his car. And the guy came and said, Shekhar Garu, what are you doing? The Telugu person said, what are you doing? I said, I'm sorry. And then he looked at his car, he looked at my car. And out of friendship, he said, okay, don't worry, nothing has happened. So he had developed some small bump at the edge of his car. He said, it's okay, doesn't matter. It's a second-hand car. In any case, it will happen. So why I'm giving that example is, if you have that envious nature, unknowingly you feel that someone is having a better facility than mine, you may not have the intention, but because it is there in your consciousness, unknowingly to you, unintentionally, it can express itself out. At least this was my experience, personal experience. I'm not sure anyone had such an experience. Anyone had such an experience? Okay. And then we have the verse of a Vaishnava. This is from Adilila 8.39. Srila Prabhupada Kod. One should not hear anything about Krishna from a non-Vaishnava. Milk touched by the lips of a serpent has poisonous effects. Similarly, talks about Krishna given by a non-Vaishnava are also poisonous. So therefore, one should be careful from whom are we hearing. But in this case, Chitraketu is not a Vaishnava. He is a Vaishnava because he had darshan of Lord Shankarshan. And yet he is saying something, criticizing, which means that there is a dip, there's a higher reason, higher purpose, and therefore he is commenting. And hence, one should not take that as an example for our own behavior. There's an interesting story I had seen in a video clipping, just to understand, because here this is enviousness, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that enviousness includes all other material contaminations. If we have that envious nature in our heart, it has all the contaminations. What are other contaminations? Kama, krodha, madha, moha, matsarya. So matsarya is the end. So that matsarya has got the previous preceding five qualities. So if someone is harboring enviousness in the heart, it means that the person is harboring the kama, lust, krodha, anger, kama, madha, madness. So all the negative qualities the person is harboring in the heart. So here was the Srimad Bhagavatam was being recited in a village, and there was a rich man in that village, and his wife used to always tell him, why don't you go there and hear Srimad Bhagavatam? You have been making lot of money, but you never hear. This money is not going to come with you. Please go and attend the class. You'll get something out of it. He never listened to his wife, but on that particular day he said, my wife is pestering me, so let me go and attend Srimad Bhagavatam class. And he took his shawl. He was a rich person, so with all attire he went there. The villagers, suddenly they were surprised to see this person coming, but they were happy that this person is coming. One gentleman said, please come. So you say somebody coming to temple, they say, please come. And then he came, and then the person said, okay, this person should be given a proper asana, proper seat. So therefore, he took out his shawl and then placed it on the floor and said, baithiye, so please sit. So, aiye, baithiye, and then he slept. Bhagavatam was over, and this gentleman who gave his shawl, he was waiting for this person, but he never got up. So therefore, he came and said, uthiye and jaiye. So he woke him up, and he says, jaiye, so please go now. And because he had good sleep for that 3 to 4 hours in Bhagavatam class, and then he went home, and what was he doing? He was reciting the same thing. Aiye, baithiye, jaiye. Aiye, baithiye, jaiye. He was reciting the whole thing all through the night. And as he was reciting, a thief enters into his property, jumps into the property. And that time, this person was saying, aiye. So the thief thought, what? This guy is inviting me. So therefore, he knows that I have come into his house. And he was startled. And then he said, baithiye. So they were thief. He said, now this guy knows what I am doing. And therefore, he falls at his feet and says, whatever money he had, he left it with the rich man, and he ran away. He said, jaiye. So therefore, the person ran away. And in the morning, when his wife got up, she said that, what happened? Did you get the benefit of attending Bhagavatam? He said, what you said is true, that I have recited that aiye, baithiye, jaiye, and then I immediately got the result. What is the result? I got the money from so and so person. Then she understood that this guy, even after going to Bhagavatam, he has not learned anything. So the speaker says that by just saying aiye, baithiye, jaiye, if you could drive away the thief, think of, if you chant the holy name of the Lord, the real thieves, like Raghunatha Goswami says, the real thief robbers will run away. And what are the real thieves? The real thieves are the kama, krodha, madha, moha, matsarya. So they will run away. Yeah, concluding, I think, 9.5. So therefore, one should not think of following Lord Shiva's behavior, follow is as given, yadyad acharati shrestas. Although this is what we are supposed to follow, but in this case, we should not think that, yes, Lord Shiva is performing an activity, that I should perform a similar activity. So concluding the session, we can say that we should not imitate the extraordinary acts of great personalities we meet, because it will be our fall down. And it is said that the sound carries our consciousness. Sound carries our consciousness. So therefore, we should be very careful in what we are uttering or with what we are saying. In all that, intention is important rather than the external activity. And to purify one's own consciousness, one should chant the holy name of the Lord as Chitraketu has done and purified his consciousness. Yeah. Any question, any comment? Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.